I know it's been a while. I'm really bad at sticking to my schedule, but you know what? New moon, new me, so it's fine. It's like a really delayed New Year's resolution. Anyways, I have been busy, actually. I've been planning a writing trip for the summer. I'm going to be going away in July to work on some stuff for next year. And I've also been, you know, doing some stuff here. I don't live in London anymore, but I live close enough that I can go there if I want to without it being too difficult. So I've been spending a lot of time up there just working on some new stuff, which I will be sharing with you today, actually. I've also been working on finishing my new projects. I'll be telling you a bit more about those later if I remember. So I guess we should get right into it. Spring on Saturday. I dress up, watching London in love. So many stories pass me by, hand in hand, hearts sewn together, hoping it will last. I'm on the steps, waiting for someone whose name I don't know, but hope to repeat again and again the seams of my soul and my heart, loose lilac light threads, waiting for the right needle and someone who can sew. So, when I was in London last weekend, I was just kind of in central, and I was just wandering around and looking at stuff and people. Which sounds a lot creepier than it was. I saw these two people. They were so adorable. They were all dressed up and it was so cute. I was like, oh my god. And they kind of looked like they'd loved each other forever, which was really nice. And I just thought, gee, that's lovely. And I don't know. When I was younger, I used to be very, like angsty and kind of mad when I would see happy people. Because I'd be like, but why can't I have that? But now that I'm older, I don't know, it's like I appreciate it, you know. I think because the world is so hard and confusing and terrifying, it's nice to see nice things, you know, and you become a lot more patient waiting for something that's going to mean something to you. Still learning. We trudged to Council Estate Eden. We loved to be well to do, even though we didn't know what to do. We'd picked up the made up kids, played house for years before it was cool, behind the bike shed wedding. We learned to love in fiction before the tracing paper divorce. We each took a kid and wept. The passionate shepherdess lost her sheep. When I was very, very young, like 10 maybe, 11, I was in love with this guy called Sean. We were in the same class at primary school. He had a twin sister, who, to be honest, I've always kind of got the impression didn't like me very much. But anyway, I was absurdly in love with Sean. He was really fun and cool and we were friends. We would pretend that we were married. It was this game that we would always play at break times. We would pretend to be married, and we had these kids and oh my God. On the bus when we used to go swimming, I never really properly learned how to swim, by the way. I'm pretty sure they just gave me a certificate because they gave up and they were like, you know what, just take it. Just fucking take it. You're never really going to get there. Just take it. You're bringing the average down. Anyway, we would always sit next to each other on the bus, and we would actually pretend that we were in a car driving home after work to go and get the kids from school and do grown-up stuff, even though we didn't really know what that meant. And it was also nice. As far as I know, I don't think he loved me back, but it was still nice, you know. There was no drama, no unwanted dick pics. It was just the person that I loved seeing most in the world, loved to be around. And it was just so sweet and untouched by the world outside and the expectations and the all the fucked up stuff that happens in adult relationships, whether reciprocated or one-sided, I don't know, but I kind of miss when things were like that. I think about him sometimes and what he's doing, I don't know. Coffee broke the ice, glacial to feverish. We burned out too fast. Fire and stone, the whole place was a beautiful blaze. I could hear diegetic distraction, soaring streams of strings, supportive screams from the charcoal crowd at the table beside us. I sipped cider, slipped ideas into your handsome head, from text to trembling fingers, promises of Palo Alto passion. Alas, as good things always do, and good girls and good boys always must, we burned out too fast. I genuinely believe that potentially, even the things that don't go the way you think they're going to go have the potential to be special moments, you know. I think almost everything in your life is an opportunity to feel love and joy, you know, because you can find it in the most ridiculous and mundane places. You know, you can have that moment where you just feel, you know, feel good and happy and it's fine. Even if everything goes to shit like a second later, you still have that like one moment. And you can draw that out in your own head as you replay it, you know, because, you know, who's going to stop you? You know, and even something short-lived, it can be inspiring and it can be joyful and happy. just for what it was, you know. I actually, it's just occurred to me, I didn't have to just read that out again, because I have already, like, two separate audio recordings of that, because I used it for a YouTube video recently. And I recorded it twice because I did two different versions of the video. So it's actually just occurred to me that I just wasted however long I took recording recording the segment prior to this one. But you know what? It's fine. I had fun. And hopefully you did too. It's fine. Everything is fine. Cherry Coke ran down my throat as I tried to recapture the taste of our Friday night cinema trips, where your hand was in mine, and also in my popcorn, and we were alone at last, watching a world where we were possible, and the dark on sticky floors. We've been to Baltimore, longing for each other, in a little loft, with a sea monster-sized secret. Who can forget that time we went to space? I kissed the tip of your nose as it crinkled at the sight of alien afterbirth. And when we were almost caught, sharing a cell with woke Latin legend Paddington Brown, you held me close as the lights went out, lighting the whole of London with the oceans you call eyes. I drink my cherry Coke, but it doesn't taste the same now that we're out in this world apart. The tattoo on your arm, clear as day in the daylight, belongs to someone else. And I, unmarked but unavailable to anyone but you, must wait for Friday night, when my heart will race and my cherry Coke will taste like we are possible once again. Going to the cinema is actually my all-time favourite kind of date. Because, firstly, I love films, so that's always great. Secondly, you can't talk because you're in the cinema. You've both paid like £12 to be there. you know, everyone else is there trying to watch it as well, so you can't just sort of start talking. So this is great for me because that means I can't say anything stupid. Because I can't talk, so that's amazing for me. and when you're in the dark and you're just together, there are these moments of intimacy that are not necessarily traditionally romantic, but you know, it's just a it feels like it's just the two of you. Even if there's, you know, just like thousands of people, although obviously there's, I highly doubt there's ever going to be a scenario in which there are thousands of people on one cinema screen, but you know what I mean? Even if the whole place is full, right? If you are watching a film and you're in the dark and you're next to someone you love, maybe you're holding hands, maybe you're not holding hands, maybe they're, you know, just sort of trying to steal a bit of your drink or whatever, it feels like it's just the two of you, and it feels like everything is magically optimistic and wonderful. It's just the nicest thing ever. It's just very nice. My man on his miserable mattress. Nothing matters when he kneels at his altar, hooks up with heaven, and escapes. He tells me I'm his methadone mistress, but our late night love is not enough to keep him from his china white wife. I wrap myself around his arms. He uses me to find a vein. I curse the coarse marks up his arms. I would inject how much I would want him to stay, but he can't feel a thing. He doesn't taste the sugar I cut it with. I wonder what he runs from. Eyes half closed. Speedball, sweetheart. Sweet dreams of punctured peace. I would run too, but I'm afraid of needles and afraid that I'll forget why I fight to keep him from running. The moon is high, so is he. I wait. He awakes. I wonder if he still loves me. He holds my hand and it feels like enough. I dread the day it isn't. I think there are some things that you can't save somebody from. One of which would be themselves. I mean, you can try. And I suppose sometimes you can, but for the most part, it's almost impossible to do. You certainly can't do it by loving them better, you know. I genuinely used to think that you could, but I'm not sure I think that anymore. Which is sad, because I liked thinking that. I liked having that optimism and that hope, but I don't know now. And when you lose somebody to themselves, it's the saddest thing of all, because it's like you know that they're still there, they're still in there, but you're not sure if they want to come out anymore. And you don't know if it's your fault or their fault or just the way the world is. It's kind of sad. But don't worry, if you were looking to find more of me, you can at my website, which is jenniferwan.com, or on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook with the username Miss J Squared, as well as YouTube. We do YouTube now, that's fun. I typically upload on weekends, so either Saturday or Sunday. Normally Sunday, I'll be real. So yeah, you can check out my YouTube. You can find my music on Spotify, Apple Music, basically any kind of place online where you can purchase or stream music. It's probably there. Or you can check out my website, where I have music stuff available there too, so that's fun. Oh, that's a thing, and I did actually mean to talk about this at more length, but you know, you can now pre-order my new book, Kissing Boys Just for the Thrill, on Amazon. It will be available on May the 11th, so that'll be really fun. Lots of love to my friend Amanda. Thank you for being so amazing. Amazing. I can't even talk. That's how drastic this is. I love you very much. Very, very much, as you know. And if you were interested in seeing me, like, actually doing this in real life, in person and that, then you can. I will be at the She Growls event, which will be held on the 3rd of May. from 7 p.m. at the Amersham Arms in New Cross in London. So it'll be really fun. But until then, or at least until my next podcast, hopefully if I stick to my schedule, that'll be next Sunday. Good night, my love.